taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello, and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show, which is on a mission to make America think again. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, and along with my co-host, Liberty Jones, we hope to make America learn and understand what's going on in this great country of ours so we can make important decisions, because a vote is a terrible thing to waste. So listen, learn, and we're not going to tell you who to vote for. We're not going to tell you how to feel. We're just going to put the information out there, because what happens in the shadows is what makes the world go round. And tonight we have a special guest with us, Noah Witherspoon. Noah is an organizer with the group that Turning Point USA, which Charlie Kirk started, the late Charlie Kirk. And he's been with us before, and he's back. And we're going to talk about this new movement that's going on in colleges and high schools all across America, and it seems to be picking up steam. Let's find out what it's about and talk to Noah a little bit and find out where he's coming from. But before I introduce Noah, before we have him on the show, let me give a big shout out to Nick Brown. It's his 31st birthday. This is my son, Nicholas. So happy birthday, son. Have a great day. All right, Noah, you're on the show. Welcome. Welcome back. And let me tell you, Noah, you should take great pride in the fact that you are only the second high school student that we've ever had you're only the second high school student that we've ever had on the show. The only other one we've had was a guy that was running for mayor a week after his 18th birthday. And we thought that was pretty cool. But welcome back. And do you want to have an opening statement? Say something. What do you want to say? Man? Cool. Go ahead.
I recall that you gave me some homework, and I did it. Ten reasons why people should become a conservative, specifically seniors. Number one, economic security. Seniors gain tax relief from the TCJA, which doubled standard deduction from $6,000 to $12,000 in singles. And number two, Social Security protection. Trump vowed to have no benefit cuts. And even before Trump, the Bush Medicare Part D added drug coverage too. So number three, national defense. The VA budget is the highest it's ever been. I know that you care about veterans, and I know that you care about the security of this country and their sanctity and our role in society. His budget is $488 billion as of 2027. And four, border security. Trump built 450 plus miles of border wall. He has the lowest crossings ever. And the Bush Secure Fence Act built 548 miles, taking a page out of George Bush's book. And number five, law and order. Trump's policies cut murders 19% nationwide and violent crime sharply decreased. Reagan, I'm sure that you remember this, he had the highest crime crackdown ever, and he lowered crime in the United States by ridiculous amounts, unheard of from any prior president. Number six,
okay.
Energy
independence. No, let me stop you right there, and you can give the rest of them, but let's go over the ones, because we'll lose track of them by the time we get to 10, okay?
I know.
So first, let's talk about defense. Okay, Donald Trump just said he wants $1 trillion defense budget.
Yes.
Okay, and he says he doesn't want to pay for daycare. So he wants to take the money from daycare and put it in defense. That's not a good trade-off as far as I'm concerned. I just want to say that. Social Security. The Republicans have always been the people that wanted to cut Social Security. They're the ones that have always talked about it. When I was at the Democratic National Committee, I was proud to say that I was head of the fund to save Social Security, because Ronald Reagan was trying to cut it in those days. So I'm not so sure I buy your argument on Social Security, although he did make some promises, but he has not kept any of his campaign promises. So I don't know why we should. The only one he's kept is border security. But the rest he's broken. Gas prices are up. The economy is in the dumpster. He said he wouldn't start any new wars, and he's fighting with Venezuela, Iran, wants to take Greenland, Cuba, and Canada. And law and order, well, law and order is easy. You know who has the lowest crime rates, and you know who has the best law and order? Are totalitarian states. There's not a lot of crime in Russia. There's not a lot of crime in China, because if you commit a crime in China, they shoot you. So when you put ICE out on the street and you start being brutal about it, yeah, the murder rates come down. Well, the murder rates came down because COVID ended and the economy started to recover. So that's what I have to say about those. So give me your last five. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, just a quick rebuttal. Social Security, the Bush Medicare plan added drug coverage for seniors and other people. National defense, I know that you think that it's important that we have daycare and things like that, and other
Daycare, children.
I don't think that we need hundreds of billions of dollars for that. And even if we did, then it's very, very important to know that without the type of security that our nation has, many of those children won't be alive. On border security, you're right. On law and order, I think it's interesting that you say that, because all of those totalitarian governments, a lot of them, they don't have what it takes to stop structural corruption and structural crime. I think Donald Trump does. But
Donald Trump is structural corruption. He's made $2 billion. He's made $2 billion on cryptocurrency. He's violated the emoluments clause of the Constitution more times than any other president in the history of the United States. His government is very corrupt. But go ahead. Give me your next one. Oh, and by the way, since you like defense so much, let me give you the good news, Noah. You have to register for the draft in December, okay? And I hope you're ready to go over and die for Israel, because I'm not ready to send my son. Go ahead.
You know, I'm very aware of the draft, and my family has already procured a plan for that. But
wait a second. Procured a plan? You mean like Donald Trump? You got a bone spur, so you're going to get out of your responsibility to the rest of us? You know, come on. Go ahead.
Donald Trump had a legitimate bone spur.
Give me a break. His bone spur was $100 million his daddy had. That was his bone spur. Go ahead.
Okay. Energy independence. Donald Trump has cut oil prices by some of the highest that we've ever seen in the first half of this first year. And we've seen record.
Wait a second. Gas pump? It's $6 a gallon in California. Well, how is that cutting gas prices? Go ahead. Go to the next one.
Well, in the first half of his first year, they were at record production and record lows. So I think that we need to pay attention to the truth. And the truth is that Donald Trump is doing a great job. He's anti-big government, personal freedom, traditional values, deregulation, energy independence, all of those great things. Those are things that he focuses on. And we must look
at that. No, wait a second. No, you got to stop. Mm-hmm. You can't just make stuff up. Okay, this is what he's focused on. He's focused on tearing off half of the White House. He's focused on painting the old executive office building. This is what's in the news today. He's focused on playing golf while 13 American brave soldiers died. You know, this is what he's focused on. I mean, this fantasy that you guys have that he's this great guy out doing these wonderful things just isn't true. The facts, you want to focus on the facts. And the facts are that this man is focused on very few of what the national policy concerns should be. He just talks about them. Okay, right now, after he reduced the price of oil in his first half of his first term, which I don't understand has to do with anything because we're not there anymore, he's going to open the Straits of Hormuz. The Straits of Hormuz were closed by him. He started a war. They were open. They were open before he started this conflict.
But look,
it's not. This is why all our allies are coming to our aid, because he didn't start this mess. You know what the president of Spain said? And I'm going to let you talk again. And let me point out that you're very brave to even come on and talk about this. But let me tell you what the president of Spain said. He said, I'm not going to congratulate a guy that set the world on fire and then showed up with a bucket. And that's what's happened. He set the Middle East on fire. And now he's going in with the Navy and he's going to straighten it out. Well, it was all straightened out before he got there. Remember in June, he obliterated. If there's anybody out there that doesn't understand what that word means, look it up in the dictionary. He obliterated their nuclear program. It didn't exist anymore. And then he attacked them several months later. So that's what's going on with the world.
Well, to respond to your point, I think that it's important to remember that the president of France is the same person who's all cuddled up to Palestine. So I wouldn't want to be covered up.
It was the president of Spain.
Well, Spain and France. But the president of Spain recognized the, quote, state of Palestine, and so did France. I think it's disgusting that these, Europhiles are taking over what us Americans think. And I'm very sad that they're influencing you, Senator.
We recognize the state of Palestine. What are you talking about? We created the state of Palestine. The United States, France, and England created the state of Palestine after the Second World War because we didn't want a bunch of homeless Jews coming into America. We're the people that started this all this crap in 1949 with the Palestine Mandate. So I'm sorry, Liberty Jones is with us, and she probably wants to say something, but I'm running my big mouth, so she hasn't had a chance. Liberty, you want to jump in here?
I would love to. Hi, how are you guys doing? What an interesting conversation to be a part of, first of all. I have a question for you. So I want to summarize some of your points in this question, but first of all, you mentioned the elderly and disabled. First, I want to just make a statement that the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, which I'm sure you're aware of, provides critical nutrition assistance to elderly Americans, would be eliminated entirely by Trump's beautiful movement. Secondly, in relation to how he's helping or not helping the elderly, housing for elderly and housing with persons for disability has faced deep cuts. I actually have the numbers in front of me. 120,000 households for the elderly and 33,000 for people with disabilities. And these are major price cuts. Yes, maybe they were necessary. To which I ask you the question, do you think it's necessary that Donald Trump is spending $400 million to renovate the ballroom and $10 billion to fund the beautification movement of Washington, D.C. when people's houses are being stripped from them?
Okay. So I find it so interesting that you brought up all of those points about, you know, taxpayer dollars and cutting funding where you can. And then you made a massive jump to the ballroom. Your points are completely disjointed. And that ballroom is funded by private donors. We need to
let's point out that those are bribes. That's not funding. Those are bribes.
That's not bribes.
Yeah, they are. No offense, buddy. I think you're very smart and you're very strong, but I've been in politics for 40 years. And when you give somebody $10 million, you expect something for it. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand anything about business. Nobody gives the president of the United States millions of dollars without expecting a favor in return. And
also,
that's
can
just
I?
A damn,
Can I just mention, what about the FY 2026 federal budget that is funded through tax revenue, that $377 million were taken from to help renovate the White House? That's tax money.
You know, that, well, if you're talking about the fiscal year budget, I know what you're talking about. And those renovations to the White House are very, very necessary. Those are renovations to the White House and the ballroom are two different things. We don't really know where that money went, and that's all up to the White House chief of staff to procure. And we don't have any of those numbers publicly. But what I do know is that those actual donations were completely idle. And if we are going to be living in a pessimistic reality ran by Democrats, folks, then I think that we should be looking at the actual facts. And the actual facts are that Donald Trump wants D.C. to look beautiful, as it should. It is the capital of our nation. We shouldn't have, you know, insane people roaming the streets and homeless people parading around and accosting random people. If that's what
that
DC
doesn't
to
happen
look like,
in Washington.
Then I'm very...
It doesn't happen in Washington, Noah. We live here, you know? It doesn't homeless people don't accost people in I don't know what you do where you live. I know you live in one of the most expensive neighborhoods in America. But here, I leave my door open. In Washington, D.C., I've never locked my door. I lived there for 40 years. We don't have high crime. They make this stuff up. They make
no,
it
that's,
up.
That's not made up. That's not.
What,
that's
what
not
do you
made
mean
up?
It's,
I mean,
not made up?
Even,
tell me how it's not made up, please. I live here, and I'm telling you, it's not happening.
Well, Mayor Bowser is currently working with U.S. U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro, and they're currently getting these criminals off of the street. It is
Pirro hasn't won one. Look, Pirro has not won a single case. She has not won a single case. She and Judge Judy are TV judges. This is the woman that he's put in charge of the single most important judicial district in America, and she is yet to win a single case. So I don't know how she going out and arresting these people personally and dragging them in, because she's not winning in court. So your fact that she is cleaning the streets of D.C. is wrong. She has not won a single case. Name a case she's won.
Senator Brown, that's a very nice spin, but I would like to give you Jeanine's record. She started one of the first domestic violence units in any district attorney's office in American history. She was the first woman to be elected a judge in, I think it was Westchester County in New York. She knows what she's talking about, and she has been involved in law very intricately before she took up TV.
But she hasn't won a single
mainly
case.
Because she lost a race.
She hasn't won a single case.
Okay.
I mean, in D.C., she has not won one case.
When she was DA, when she was DA, she won 100% of her cases. 100%.
But she hasn't won a case now. That's the point, Noah. When you say, well, look, when you say she's cleaning up the streets of D.C. and she's a judge, that would mean that she's putting criminals away. But she's not putting criminals away. She's doing a horrible job, just like Pete Hegseth, who's about to be fired, by the way.
Okay.
You heard it here first. Kristi Noem, the attorney general who was fired because he didn't do a good enough job covering up the Epstein files. So
we don't know the reason.
These people are not winning cases. And I've listened to Charlie Kirk. I've listened to a lot of his stuff this week. And he puts out the same facts you're putting out, and they're not true. Of course, he doesn't anymore, unfortunately. And let me just say, you know, I'm not trying to make light of that. What happened to him was a horrible thing that should never happen in America. And the guy was willing to listen. The reason you're on my show is he says this guy was willing to listen. And I'm sorry if I'm not listening enough, but I can't have you on here saying things like she's cleaning up the streets of D.C. when I live here and there's nothing going on in D.C. that she needs to clean up. First of all, we have the lowest crime we've had in years, ever since we had a blip up during the pandemic, but that's over. And she hasn't won a single case. And that's you want to talk about the truth? The truth is she hasn't won a single case. So
cases are pending. All right. plenty of cases are pending. She just announced an indictment the other day at a.
Well, then say it like that, Noah. Say she dreams of cleaning up the streets of Washington, or maybe she'll clean up the streets of Washington. Don't say she's doing it, because she's not doing it. She's losing. She's lost every case.
No, she's not losing anything. Honestly, I think that we must look at her record and her record.
Mm-hmm. Her record in D.C. is all that counts. I don't care about her record elsewhere. She now has a new position she shouldn't have. Do you know that Trump nominated a beauty contestant. He nominated a woman that had won a beauty contest to be the number one lawyer in Washington, D.C. and to prosecute cases. She took her first case and she blew it on the introduction to the case, and they threw the case out of court, and she no longer has a job. He's putting people that are willing to kiss his ass, but are totally incompetent, like Pete Hegseth. What's Pete's, you know, we've had people on the show, Noah, who are admirals and generals, and Hegseth was a PR guy in the Marine Corps, and he's running the Defense Department, which... And we need to move on here, because this is the question I really want to ask you. Where is the Christianity in anything you say? Would Jesus have turned the Defense Department into the War Department? Would he have said, I'm going to obliterate your civilization? Would he be saying fucking in his social media contacts? I mean, come on, Noah. There's not a Christian thing about anything you people believe in. Not one Christian value. Name a Christian value that you believe in.
Once again, Senator Brown, a very, very nice spin, a very worthy spin. But if we want to talk about Christianity, then we can talk about the Clinton age. We can talk about how, you know, Carter wasn't
able
to
free all
those Iranian victims. But they all claim to be so
Christian. Look, man, I work for a guy. No. Listen. I worked for a president of the United States, okay, that taught Sunday school until he was 99 years old. That's a good Christian. He built houses for the poor. He didn't play golf, okay? That's what he did when he left office. He built houses for the poor.
Yes, that's all very worthy political stunt. But all
it's
that
not
I...
A look, sir, we're going to cut you off the show, okay? Because this man was not a political stunt. Habitat for Humanity is not a political stunt, okay?
Look,
you need to wake up.
That's fine. I understand what you're saying, Senator Brown, and I completely sympathize with you. Christianity is very, very important. That is why Donald Trump has established the White House Faith Office.
He held the Bible upside down. The guy was asked whether he was an Old Testament or a New Testament person, and he said he was an e-books kind of guy. He doesn't even understand the Bible has two
That's
books. I was confirmed. Wait, Noah. I was confirmed when I was 7 years old, and I understood at 7 years old that there were two books to the Bible. This man has never opened a Bible in his entire life, but he wears a little cross, and he has his... press secretary wear a bigger cross, and all of a sudden he's a Christian. He's not a Christian. He's never done a Christian thing in his life. Jesus Christ did not say, I am your retribution. He said, I am your salvation. Come to me. I am your salvation. Do you want to know what the Bible says about retaliation? It's Leviticus says, you shall not take vengeance nor grudges against any of your people, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say I'm your retribution. It doesn't say I'm going to get even. So let's call this what it is, okay? And what it is a bunch of people that are racist and misogynist, and this guy makes them feel good. So that's my opinion. Go ahead.
Well,
Say whatever you want. I'm sorry, I'm being too aggressive here, but you're really pissing me off when you tell you Jimmy Carter built houses as a gimmick. It wasn't a gimmick. You know what's a gimmick? Wearing a damn Make America Great Hat to a ceremony where they're bringing dead soldiers off a plane. That's what a gimmick is, a USA
look,
hat.
Look, Senator Brown, I don't understand what is so incredibly wrong with the sentiment of Make America Great Again. It is a
because
great
it's
country.
Always been great, Noah.
Can
you
I
don't
tell
need
you
to
why?
Make it great. No. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Really
I will tell you why America, Make America Great Again is a problem to me. First of all, when was it great for somebody that wasn't white men? Are we talking about when it was great when we were fighting for our lives? Black people were, not we, but black people were fighting for their lives to be able to be recognized as citizens? Or are we talking about when they were slaves? Are we talking about 30 years ago when we had huge economic crises? Are we talking about in the 1920s where we also had those? America was never fully great. It was great when people like him were on top for people like him. And he's trying to reiterate that sentiment. And that's really unfortunate because you can tell me whatever the Republican media says, as Senator Brown will tell you whatever the Democratic media says, but we need to look at the history and we need to look at the numbers. And so saying America was great, let's do it again, is racist. And you need to recognize that.
Look, just like every political slogan that the Republicans come up with, the Democrats will find some way to call it racist. But I'm going to tell you what Make America Great Again really means. All right? Make America Great Again means making America great again in different sections, right? America has been great in some aspects and not so great in others. America was great when we passed the Civil Rights Act. America was great when we had economic booms during the Industrial Revolution, right after World War II, as Senator Brown will tell you. America was great when we were passing such incredible economic deregulatory measures back in the Reagan age. America has been great many times throughout history in many different forms and in many different ways.
And what is Trump doing to pass civil rights acts nowadays?
I mean, well, we don't.
How is he working on
this
slogan then?
I mean, well, he's working under this slogan by saying that making America great means.
So it's a lot of talk, but not a lot of action.
No, I'm telling you the action. If you would let me finish, you're getting very worked up. Make America Great Again is a centralized version of all of those different forms of American greatness. And that is what he's trying to restore. That is his goal. That is his aim. And I think that he's doing a very worthy job.
Okay, well, you're entitled to that opinion. But let me move on for a minute. And you're right, we are getting worked up. And we're getting worked up because you're, in our opinion, no, you're just not in touch with the facts. But let's get back to Christianity, okay? Make America Great Again, as far as that goes, has nothing to do with Christianity, okay? And everything that I listen to in Charlie Kirk and everything I hear you say, things about private ownership, things about the economy, things about women. Charlie Kirk says that if women want to be satisfied, they need to get married and have children. Well, that's easy for a man to say, right? Let me tell you, I've been in the delivery room 3 times. It's no walk in the park, all right? So you know, it's easy for a guy to say, you know what? You should be barefoot and pregnant. Oh, I know where I heard that. I heard that when America was great again. Be barefoot and pregnant. And that's what this guy is saying. He's saying that college is a scam. Now, how the hell would a guy that's never been to college know that college is a scam? How is it a scam? It's not a scam. It's not just about job training. It's about becoming a whole person, which unfortunately Charlie Kirk never did. But go ahead.
Well, I don't agree with Charlie Kirk on everything. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't agree with him on everything. I agree with him on the vast majority of things, like any other conservative. But what I will say is I don't believe that college is a scam, and I disagree with the mass majority of conservatives who do believe that. But what I do believe is a scam is the rabid Democrat media pumping our youth full of these ridiculous, horrible ideas and concepts within the land of academia. And that's why Donald Trump is combating them in such a forceful and noble and brave way,
okay.
which I'm
Again,
happy to support him doing.
Give me an idea that they're pushing then in academia. That's a horrible idea on our youth. Give us that. And please make it more horrible than telling a college freshman, a woman, that she should drop out and have a baby. But go ahead and tell me something that liberals are teaching our young men and women that's abhorrent to you and Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, critical race theory is one of the most dangerous concepts, I think.
Why? Why, Noah? Because it'll make people think about what we did. You know, Charlie doesn't believe in reparations, but he believes in inheritances. Do you love this? This guy believes that people that made money that had nothing to do with you can give you all their money. But he believes that people from whom you are directly descended had no impact on you at all if you were born in the 20th century and you don't deserve reparations. Why do white rich people deserve reparations and poor black people don't? I'd like to know that, really. That's what
well,
I mean.
I contest...
He's not a Christian. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I contest the fact that inheritance is a form of reparations. And if you know about the foundation of the critical race theory, it was created by Harvard Law professor Derrick Bell, who ordered that racism is permanent.
Our whole government was set up by a law professor. Our entire government. His name was Thomas Jefferson.
Yes,
you
and
know? There's
Thomas
nothing
Jefferson,
wrong with being
I think,
a law
is different
professor.
From Derrick Bell.
So critical race theory is a sensitivity tool, okay? You need to understand where you came from. Past is prologue. You know, it's carved right on the side of a building in the District of Columbia, which is the most important building in our democracy, the archives. It says past is prologue, and that's true. You cannot understand where you're going if you don't know where you've been. And where we've been, we've had a horrible track record on race. They hung people in the South. During my lifetime, black people were hung in the South. During my lifetime, it's not ancient history. So critical race theory is, and why should any idea at all, if you can teach, should you be able to teach Christianity in school? A concept that's thousands of years old, should you be able to teach that, but you can't teach something like critical race theory? I mean, how did that make sense?
I think that we have a difference of opinion on what critical race theory means. My view of critical race theory is a theory that argues that racism is permanent within the white section of society or the section of society that has been permanently in the oppressor's role, which they have not. It is simply factually inaccurate that white people have, you know, held the whip hand over the black man forever. That's not how it's been. I mean,
God,
if we look
Noah,
at history,
read a book.
Can I say something about this?
Yeah, please.
I'm a sociology minor. I spent a lot of time learning about critical race theory. And first of all, it's not just one theory. It's a tree. There's millions of branches. There's millions of leaves. And its proponents do not talk about the white man. It talks about the structure that we have in place, and it gives evidence on how it has done it wrong. If you want to identify as the white man being the structure, I completely agree with you. But that's the fundamental theory of critical race. It's evidence on things like housing disparity.
There's something Donald Trump would know about. He was convicted of discriminating against black people. This guy that's Christian.
Okay. Yeah,
what,
no.
That didn't happen. You need to tell me that didn't happen, Noah. Do you want the case number?
That case was settled by lawyer Roy Cohn, and it was settled. No, it was settled because it was packed into a bunch of lawsuits that the State Department launched against multiple real estate developers, and his real estate company was not in the wrong. It was settled for a reason, and we don't know that.
Why
reason,
was it settled?
Because
he was right? The guy won't even settle the things that he's wrong. No, he lost over 60 election cases. He lost each and every one of them, 60 of them.
Well,
he understands that being
he lost them.
What?
I dispute that he lost the cases. Most of those cases were launched by independent actors. And if we actually look at that, you know, Donald Trump has done a lot of winning in the courts.
They were thrown out of court because they're baseless. The man, for the first time in the history of the United States, a president of the United States went to intimidate the Supreme Court, sat there, and that case was thrown out. So if he's sitting in the courtroom, how is it settled by independent actors? It's not.
He can't sit in a courtroom now? Is that illegal?
No, it's not illegal. You know, go watch the Godfather movies. The mafia comes and they sit in the back of the courtroom, and all of a sudden the witnesses don't say what they were going to say. You know, and that's why he was there. He was there to intimidate those judges. It's never happened before. It's not the decorum. It's not the procedure in Washington, okay? He did it, but they threw his case out anyway. They threw his case out.
Well,
and you want to know something? Liberty Jones has a very close friend who has birthright citizenship. So it's probably an issue that she cared about. And thank God they threw this jackass out of court who wants to say it's not part of the Constitution. The Second Amendment is part of the Constitution, but birthright citizenship is not. The Second Amendment doesn't say anything about private gun ownership, but birthright citizenship says anybody born in the United States under any circumstances for any reason, and this guy is sitting in the White House saying, well, billionaires shouldn't be able to come over to Washington and shouldn't be able to come over to America and have their child just so they can be American citizens. And meanwhile, he's selling $5 million gold cards. He's actually selling American citizenship. You know, this is crazy, this stuff you guys are talking about. And it pains me to talk to somebody like you because I see you're so damn smart. I see you know more about this. I'm shocked at how well educated you are on the facts. And I assume that you will do something great in your life. I hope that that'll be the case. And that's what troubles me, to see a young person who takes on all this misinformation. It's misinformation. You know, this man talks about fake news. This is fake news. You know, the things you're saying are fake news. You know, no, there's nothing wrong with him sitting in a courtroom. That wasn't the point. The point is no president has ever done it. Why do you think? Because it's appropriate.
I think that that's a good thing. Trump is making history in another great and bold way. And honestly, on birthright citizenship, I would like to pose this question to Liberty. Liberty, what do you think that birthright citizenship means in the Constitution, in the legal phrase? I took Law 101 in criminal justice, so I just want to hear from you firsthand. Do you think that it's justified in the Constitution?
Yeah. I mean, I'll let Liberty answer, but I certainly think it is. Go ahead, Liberty.
Constitutional guarantee says, and I quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States are subject to jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. That's what it means to me.
Okay, so you're aware within the historical time it was created and why it was created?
Look, you're going, wait, I'm going to
say, yes, 1868 after the Civil War to ensure equality.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm going to save you here, right? Noah. You're about to be hated by everybody in your movement, okay? Because the Second Amendment says, let me quote it to you, a well-regulated militia. Those are the first words. Every gun needs to be regulated, okay? And you, the Supreme Court, and all the people on your side say that that's not what it means. It means that Every individual is allowed to have a gun because the end of the amendment says shall not be infringed. They don't understand the first three words, but they all understand the last three words. So intent has nothing to do with anything. These laws were created. They were all created. Look, equal rights laws. All the laws in America were created for, if they were created 100 years ago, or they were signed in the Constitution. You want to talk about intent? The Constitution doesn't recognize women. The Constitution doesn't recognize Black people. You want to talk about intent? Who cares what the intent is? The words are very clear. You have no idea what the intent was because you weren't there when they were making the legislation. Okay,
so
it was to enfranchise Black people? Yes, but who cares? Who cares? The words say anybody born, and you can't interpret, you can't go back and be anthropomorphic about this and say, well, the intent was not just anybody born in the United States.
I'm not saying that. And I like how you jumped in to save liberty from this, but you can't save her from this. Wong Kim Ark in 1898 limited the holding, saying that a child of lawful permanent residence is citizen and does not extend to legal or illegal aliens or temporary visitors. That's from the Constitution Center. And if you want to talk about the supporting argument,
I'm not going to save liberty. You go tell that to the Supreme Court, because it seemed the Supreme Court just decided that you were wrong.
I would.
The Supreme Court just said that's not the case. The Supreme Court said what liberty said holds. That's what they said. So I'm not a legal expert, but I think those guys know what they're talking about.
Well, yes, and that's why I like to talk about activist judges. I actually wrote an article
There's
on this.
There's no such thing as an activist judge. Do you not understand? Wait, this is the problem. Is that you buy this stuff. There is no such thing as an activist judge. It is a judge's job. It is a judge's job to interpret the law. That's what they do. That's what their job is. That's what their responsibility is. And when they interpret them in a way that you don't like, you can't call them an activist.
No, it's just wrong. According to the 1866 Civil Rights Act precursor, Wong Kim Ark, according to the actual intent,
why didn't the Supreme Court agree with you? I'm sorry, Liberty. Go ahead. I'm talking too much.
Me? Go ahead. So my question to you, let's be objective about this, okay? 35 countries in the world use birthright citizenship. It's a pretty common thing nowadays. You know, most of these countries are North America, South America, and Central America. They're not in where? Asia and Europe, which colonized the rest of the world, theoretically, okay? And this means that they migrated towards these countries. So the South, the global South, North America, we are countries that are melting pots because of our history of colonization. We are melting pots. Birthright citizenship allows for us to develop in the ways that historically we were made to. I don't understand what the problem with that is. I don't.
Here is the problem. It's just illegal. Wong Kim Ark says it's illegal. The 1866.
What is illegal? It's in the Constitution. How is it illegal?
What is illegal? It is a mangled and manipulated way to see the law, way to view the law. If you believe that illegal or children of illegal immigrants should be in this country, and if you want to talk about 30-something countries, and we could talk about, you know, the fact that there are 193 UN member states, and there are like 250 countries in the world, that's not even a majority of the countries. The majority of the countries in the world don't even agree with you. That is absolutely pathetic. And you're telling me that we should follow this rule? No, it's not.
It's in the Constitution, young man. We should follow the rule. And although you are a high school legal expert, the United States Supreme Court says you're wrong. So I'm sorry, Noah. I know you're very smart, But I'm on the side of liberty and the justices of the Supreme Court who say it's in the Constitution, so you can't have it. You can't call it unconstitutional. Okay? Let me tell you, I've worked for 18 years in the District of Columbia to make the people of the District of Columbia equal. And you know why they're not equal? Because in the Constitution of the United States, it says that Congress has the power to rule the District of Columbia. Is that right? No. Is it democracy? No. Is there any reason for it? No. The only reason that it doesn't happen is it's in the Constitution. Once it's in the Constitution, pal, it's legal, and you can't have it declared unconstitutional. There's no way you can have it declared unconstitutional. It's in the Constitution. You know, come on, Noah. We love you, buddy, but it's in the Constitution. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's the story of this country. This country was built by immigrants. Literally, it was created. It was founded. It was founded. Christopher Columbus was not an American when he founded this country.
No, he was Italian. I have to point that out because my grandmother was Italian. No, that's right. Well, he wasn't an American, and none of the people that settled the country were Americans. And the people that set up the government weren't Americans. The only Americans are Native Americans and the only true Americans. And the rest of us are immigrants. And let me just point out, they're not murderers and rapists that are coming across the border. It's your grandfather and my grandfather and your great-grandfather. It's every person that came to this country. People today come to this country for the same reason they've always come to this country, for a better life and for freedom and for justice. And Donald Trump is trying to change that.
Look, I believe...
Where are your grandparents from?
I believe this.
Where is your family? Where are your great-grandparents from?
My great-grandparents are from the United States. I'm a fifth-generation American.
Okay, so what about your great-great-grandparents? Where did they come from? Where was the sixth generation from?
I actually think they're from Nigeria.
Oh, my God, Noah! God, deport God. You right
they're
now!
Nigeria! Oh, those guys are rolling over in their grave right now. Your sixth generation. Look, if they're waiting for you in heaven, you got a lot of explaining to do, boy.
I mean,
Nigeria.
Yes, look, this is a very interesting argument. Is that people think that illegal immigrants, you know, means that somebody who's come here illegally. If my
your grandparents came here. Your fifth generation came here illegally. They didn't come through Ellis Island because Ellis Island didn't exist five generations ago.
Yeah, they came through slavery, and slaves were granted citizenship, which made them citizens, which made my
Wait. They were granted citizenship when? Around 1868, when we granted in the Birthright Constitutional Act. Where they were actually not citizens, which is the question you asked me?
No, I'm telling you that they were granted citizenship through the U.S. Constitution, which is completely legal. And then afterwards, any birth that happened afterwards...
And that's what we're telling you. It's completely legal.
Yes, completely legal in the specific scenario of slaves, which it was created to address. And if you would like to hear about
specific.
That...
You guys should listen to the look. You can't have it both ways, Noah. You can't say constitutional amendment that gives you the right to have a gun, but specifies you can only have it if you're in the military. That's the specificity of the Second Amendment. You can't say that applies to everybody and then say that you have to look at the specifics of a piece. It's not an amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah, you
it's
kind of do have to look
Constitution.
At the specifics in law. That's what it is. I'm sure you know that better than anyone.
Oh, no, Noah. You don't look at the specifics in law. It may be true, but you don't do it. The Supreme Court just said you're wrong. They looked at the specifics and they said you're wrong.
The Supreme Court is not the defining authority of the law. It is.
Yes, it
is.
Into college, you're going to understand there's three branches of government. And the top law court in the judicial branch is the Supreme Court. They are the court of ultimate. They are the court of ultimate the place that are the last stand, the last place you can go to. They're in control of the entire court system. So they are end of all and be all of the legal system.
The Supreme Court has made missteps in the past. Like I said,
of course they have, but not as many.
Like Plessy v. Ferguson, which was very quickly overturned. If we want to talk about how the Supreme Court is so final, then why can they overturn their own decision? They're wrong here. They are wrong here, and they made a misstep here, just like they did in Plessy, just like they did in Aiza.
Do you understand? Wait a second, Noah.
Many other times.
Do you know how ridiculous it sounds for a person to sit on this show and say they took introduction to legal theory 101, but you're going to tell us the Supreme Court is wrong and you're right? That's crazy.
I'm not saying that I'm right. This isn't my theory. This is the theory of the United States. And the many appellate briefs that have came in. Look, we have to look at the simple
facts.
But
Donald Trump, the most horrible president in American history, stands up there and says, I got more votes than anybody, and I won. And that means I have the power. Well, I'm telling you, the Supreme Court just decided, and they have the power. So you can't have it both ways, Noah. When it goes your way, you can't say, oh, I believe in it. And when it doesn't, say, no, I don't believe it. You know?
No, I believe in the lasting effects of rulings, but clearly the Supreme Court made a mistake here. It's just that simple. They made a mistake. They've made mistakes in the past.
How are you in
They've
a position
done it multiple
to
times.
Judge that? How can you
I'm
judge
judging
that?
It. I'm
You don't have I'm the judging you it. Don't have the education to judge it.
Do you know who does? John Sauer. Do you know who does? Jeanine Pirro.
No, a TV, look, you told me that you had the nerve to say to me that Zelensky was a TV reality star, even though you worship a TV reality star, and you're going to tell me that Jeanine Pirro, the judge who's going to decide whether the dog that pooped on your lawn, you get some kind of reparations or some damages because your neighbor's dog pooped on your lawn. That's the woman who's a legal authority. She's a joke. She's a joke like so many people in the Trump administration.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you that there have been a pageant of legal theorists like John Yoo, like David Addington, like John Sauer, who have disputed the 14th Amendment. And it's not
but
just
they're
me.
Wrong. They're wrong. The Supreme Court decided they're wrong. So it doesn't matter. So, do you know how many people have said that Donald Trump is totally unqualified? People with far more education and far more standing than the people that you're bringing up now. People who are
David Addington worked for the White House.
Amazing things. Former presidents, have said he's horrible, but yet that you don't accept. But you accept legal theories from people who really are not at the top of the legal profession. Let me tell you, the three people that you just named. Are you kidding me? Who are those people? Have you ever heard of any of them? No. Come on, man.
Wow.
An argument to fit your scenario. I want to tell you something. We're almost out of time here. And you are the bravest young man I've ever met on the internet. Let me tell you, to come here, you know that Liberty Jones and I would just like to grab you and put you in a sack and take you somewhere and have you deprogrammed. But so I'm so happy. I'm so proud of you for standing up to us. So we got 2 minutes left. You say something. You say something that we haven't let you say because you've been so polite and allowing us to rant. So go ahead. You get the last 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Thanks so much. Well, Donald Trump is somebody who knows about the foundation of this country being one of the most successful builders in American history. Donald Trump is someone who defended this country in his first term, who is very valiantly defending his country in his second term, fighting in Iran, making sure that we are willing to win this thing, and I'm very optimistic that we will. Donald Trump is somebody who knows the Constitution and is advised by incredible people. John Yoo, as I mentioned, the same person who came up with the McCain briefs, and the same person who came up with the war briefs in the Bush administration, David Addington, another incredible legal scholar. All of them agree that Donald Trump is doing the correct thing in the courts. And Donald Trump also won the Trump immunities case, which I think is incredible and set the framework for hundreds of years of presidential action to come. So I think Donald Trump is defending this country in the courts. He is defending this country on the home front with the border. He is defending this country economically, making all of those beautiful deals and doing his best to preserve them as we fight this war in Iran and defending this country against terrorism abroad. Donald Trump is one of the best presidents, if not the best president I think we've ever seen in modern American history. And we have to look at the bare facts, and the bare facts show that. And that is why I support Donald Trump. And I will continue to do my work down here, even in my small capacity, to make America great again.
Well, that's great. And we appreciate you having us. Having you on the show, let me just correct a few things. The guy you talk about that worked on McCain brief, do you remember who John McCain is? Donald Trump called him a loser. He's a hero, and Donald Trump called him a loser. Donald Trump, the draft dodger, called him a loser, this American hero, okay? So your friend worked for McCain, maybe he shouldn't be working for Trump, huh? And number two, the immunities case was the worst decision in American history to make the president of the United States immune from the legal system, that he can do whatever he wants and he can be above the law. Nobody's above the law in America. That's the way it's supposed to act. But that's where we have to leave it. And maybe we'll have Noah back again. But first, Liberty and I have to rest a while because we're so worked up that we've had this crazy young guy on the show. And, you know, the bottom line, Noah, is I think you're really great, but you need to get back to in touch with Christianity, because Christianity is about love. Jesus Christ was about love. He's not about retribution. Jesus Christ is about people. He's not about money. Jesus Christ is about everything that Donald Trump is not. And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you, Noah Witherspoon. Thank you, Liberty Jones, for not coming through the microphone and slapping me for taking up all the time. I should have given you more time because you're smarter than I am. But we'll see you next week, folks. And this goes out, and I hope you listen to this song. This goes out to Noah. It's called Unstoppable by Sia, because I believe you have the energy, Noah, to be unstoppable, and that's what scares me. We'll see you next week. Thanks. Give the people their right to vote.